if you will, Luke chapter 23, beginning verse number 27 through verse number 33. I will read the first verse there. You join me on the second and so on, all the way through verse number 33, beginning with verse number 27. Luke chapter 23, verse 27 through 33. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in that which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And verse number 33 is our text verse this evening. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for what she stood for all these years. Thank you for the faithful pastors that you've given her down through the years. Thank you for the men who preceded our preacher, who gave their life and their time and their soul and their heart to make sure we can have what we have, what we've had for the past 25 years. Lord, I pray as we come to the most important time of the service. Lord, help us not to take preaching lightly, for it's through preaching that our lives are going to be changed, our hearts will be strengthened, we'll be encouraged. Lord, of course, our prayer is if there's someone here that does not know they're going to heaven, Lord, may by the time this service closes, they'll see their need for salvation. Bless us. Come meet with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
3, the Bible says, and when they were come, I want you to underline this, the place which is called Calvary. The place which is called Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. And I want to talk to you tonight about that subject. We're just going to, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get in our car. And we're just going to ride around tonight. Did you ever do that when you were a kid? Your parents got in the car and said, we're just going to ride around. We're going to ride around tonight, and we're going to enjoy our salvation tonight. And I want, well, some of us are going to enjoy our salvation tonight. I'm talking about the place which is called Calvary. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, help us tonight. Holy Ghost of God, we need your help. I ask you to flow through me. Help me to help your people. And Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for salvation. So grateful, Father, that you allowed your Son to come and to die, to dip his soul into hell, be resurrected to pay for our sins. And tonight I pray that we'll just enjoy this matter of our salvation and take a good look at it and rejoice about it tonight. So talk to us, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't know where the baby is. That we've got nurseries and ushers. You've got to help us. If you have children, they're going to talk. If you're going to talk while I preach, we have children's churches and you ushers, you help us. Just find you an usher, and they'll be glad to help you. The child's going to be a whole lot more comfortable in there, and I'll stop. I have to get folks' attention. This is important. It's no game with me, and it's no game with us, and folks have got to hear. So if you have a child that's talking, ushers, you help us. If you have a baby, put the baby in the nursery, and that'll be a big help for you and for me and for the baby. Father, bless now tonight. Help me to help. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Look this way. Listen carefully. The place which is called Calvary. A lot of mountains in the Bible. There's Mount Sinai. Sublime in solitude, robed in clouds, shrouded in smoke, illuminated with fire. Where with heaven's thunders and heaven's lightnings and heaven's rumblings the law was given. What about Mount Horeb? Where a bush aflame with the glory of a descended deity defied all of nature, and Moses, a great leader, was commissioned. How about Mount Pisgah, from whose lofty heights Moses saw the land which God, according to Deuteronomy 34, sware unto Abraham? How about Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim? From whole neighboring sides, the blessings and the curses were pronounced in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Breathtaking is Mount Carmel, where God answered Elijah's prayer with fire from heaven. Boy, I'd like to have been there for that one. monumental is Mount Tabor, in whose shadow and in on whose slopes the stars in their courses fought with Barak, you remember, and his 10,000 men to overthrow Sisera and his host, according to Judges chapter 5. What about Mount Moriah, where under the leadership of Solomon, 160,000 men toiled 7.5 years to build the holy and beautiful temple? Take a look at the Triple Peak Hermon, where Jesus was transfigured, his countenance brighter than the sun, his garment whiter than snow. How about Mount Olivet tonight, Olivet of sweet farewell memories, where with the clouds as his chariot and the wind as his steed, he went back to God. But above and beyond all mountains as a skyscraper in height, as a tree is beyond a twig in fruit bearing, as a cannon is beyond a pop gun in far-reaching power, so is this place that's called Calvary. For there God dressed in bloody garments and courted our love. This place called Calvary was the interlocking of the ages. It was this place where Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ redeeming man from death unto life. Christ canceling man's debt by his appearance on this place which is called Calvary. Christ voluntarily passing under death's dreadful shadow. Though owing the law no debt himself, he did pay the penalty that we owed on this very place called Calvary. There at Calvary, with power to smite his enemies with a thunderbolt, guess what he said? He elected to die on a cross and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." There at this place called Calvary, God's eternal attributes emptied their vials of burning wrath upon the sinless sacrifice of God. This very place called Calvary, agony reigned, the earth shuddered, the sun in darkness hid because of the precious Son. This very place called Calvary, God the Father, the clouds permitted him to thirst, who came to remove the moral thirst of mankind. This very place called Calvary, God who clothed the valleys with corn and fed the young ravens when they cry, left him naked under the darkening sky and answered not his cry. No wonder the heavens went black. No wonder the sun withdrew its light. No wonder the earth reeled in its steady course. No wonder the rocks rent as though shattered that so great a love could find so ungrateful a return. Earth has no darker sin. History has no darker page. And humanity, no fouler spot than that of the Savior and the crucifixion on this very place called Calvary. But oh, the marvelous purpose of this place called Calvary, for which he came to die, the man born once and born dead might be born again and born alive. Not by his sinless life was Jesus man's substitute. Not by his miracles did he honor the law, satisfy justice, or meet the demands of divine holiness. Not by his teaching did he take away humanity's despairing woe and God's judgment upon the human race. Not by his beautiful example did he take our place under the law. Not by his preaching did he open a fountain for all uncleanness. Not by his character did he repair the insulted dignity of God's nature. Only by suffering the death did he adequately compensate God's justice for man's offense. At this very place called Calvary, in death the divine purpose of his life is revealed. He was made, quote, lower than the angels. In death he paid our debt. At this very place called Calvary. Isaiah 3:6 says, "The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah 53:5, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You see, the Bible contains the saddest story of man and the saddest story of God. Together they make the saddest story of all the ages. Look at, again, at the man perfect, hated in garments of righteousness, drinking from a life-giving stream, eating from the fruit of the trees of the garden, breathing the breath of the Almighty, who was endowed with the power of choice, and sin he did. And the Son of God then chose to shed his blood for those sinners as he came at this very place called Calvary. in Eden, man fell. This began the saddest story of man. Its tragic color is seen in the blood of righteous Abel. Its sadness is seen in the shame of a drunken Noah. Its confusion is seen in the plain of a babbling Shinar. Its oppression is seen in the servitude of Egypt's bondage. Its bitterness is testified to in the sting of the serpents in the wilderness. Its manifold tragedies are seen in the captivity of Babylon, in the sin of David, in the vanity of Solomon, in the betrayal and crucifixion of the Nazarene. But no man can know the fullness of the sadness of the fall of man unless he fathom the bottom of the bottomless pit, unless he grope in the outer darkness, unless he weep and wail in hell where the lost race is forever on the waves of a quenchless fire. If there is no fall, then there is no hell, and then there is no salvation to preach. But may I say to you that this place called Calvary, you and I are free tonight, God's people tonight, going to heaven tonight because of this very place called Calvary. And I'll pause while you have a fit. The saddest story of God is Calvary. Jesus' death, prearranged, prophesied, provided by God, was no afterthought with God. Jesus was born with the shadow of the cross upon him, with the shadow of the cross upon his heart. He learned to walk. He learned to talk. He learned to work. From his earliest moment upon the earth, it was his burden by day, his pallet by night. The shadow of the cross was upon the Bethlehem swaddling clothes. The shadow of the cross was upon Joseph and Mary. The shadow of the cross was upon the walls of the Nazareth carpenter shop. The shadow of the cross was on the waters of Lake Galilee. The shadows of the cross were at Sychar. The shadows of the cross were at the door of the temple. The shadow of the cross was on the sunset. The shadow of the cross was on the sunrise. I'm talking about this very place that's called Calvary, that causes you and I tonight to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we died, we'd go to heaven because of this very place that's called Calvary. The shadow of the cross was upon Gethsemane's garden. The cross was with him when they came with lanterns and torches to arrest the light of the world. The cross was with him when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. The cross was with him when Annas quizzed him. The cross was with him when Caiaphas condemned him. The cross was with him when Herod mocked him. He walked the streets dishonored by its shame. He climbed Olivet oppressed by its weight. He rose from the dead, glorified by his sacrifice. A sword pierced the heart of God long before it entered the heart of Mary. You see, I'm talking about this very place that's called Calvary. You see, the agony over man's fall in sin is an eternal agony. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father and Jesus the Son bore the travail. I'm talking about Titus 1:2, where it says eternal life promised before the world began. I mean there was a decisive decision made in eternity past by God the Father that he would have to turn his back on his own. Don't yawn tonight. I'm talking about Calvary. I'm talking about you missing hell. I'm talking about you making heaven tonight. I'm talking about this very place called Calvary. I'll tell you why now, we're not having a revival in America, not having a revival of God's people, is because we don't stop and think about the very sacrifice that caused you and I to be able to walk around with a Bible under our arm and tell others how to be saved. I'm saying tonight, thank God for this very place that's called Calvary. That's why you teenagers are so enthralled with this world. You better get enthralled with what God did for you. You better get enthralled with the fact that you're God's child and you're not going to hell. I'll pause while you holler amen now. I'm talking about this very place that's called Calvary. I can't imagine the heartbreak of God as he met with his son, and then Jesus volunteered and said, I'll go. And I can't imagine when the Holy Spirit said, I'm not sure I'm for this. And God the Father said, I'm not sure. Let's try to figure out there's not another way of this preordained council that took place in eternity past. I mean, I'm talking tonight about the fact that Jesus stepped forward and volunteered. That cross did not hold him. It was love that held him to the cross. It was you that held him to the cross. It was not the fact that he could not come down. He couldn't call angels to come down and deliver him. He was God's son. He was the pride of heaven. Listen to me. The thing that held him to Calvary was the love that he had for you. And if you'd have been the only person ever born, ever lived, ever sinned, that would ever die, Jesus would have left heaven to die for you. Well, somebody help me. Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, crucified and slain, Can you imagine how in God's mind every moment He thought about His Son dying, every moment He thought about the spittle, every moment He thought about the crowns of thorn, every moment He thought about the piercing of His side, every moment He thought about those feet, every moment He thought about the beauty of His Son being stripped naked in front of a whole world, the shame of it all, the shame of Calvary, the shame of carrying your sin and my sin upon His back, the shame of the fact that He would die when He was God's Son, God's righteous Son, a man of God, God's Son, the Son of God, and the Son of Man who did not deserve to die, but died because He loved you. And all of that was determined by this determinate counsel Acts 2:23 talks about. How about this one, Revelation 13:8, write that down. Knowing that He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's amazing to me. He knew that He was the Lamb to be slain before the foundation of the world. He knew when He left heaven what was going to happen. He knew when He was conceived in the womb of a virgin. He knew what would happen. He knew what would happen when He was born in this world. He knew what would happen when He walked the streets of Nazareth. He knew what would happen. He knew what was going to happen. And yet, He stepped out. If you knew the things that you were going to... Here's what we say. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have done that. Well, now, pause. You help me now. You say, boy, if I'd have known about that, I'd have never done that. I'll tell you, if I'd have known how rough that's going to be, I'd have never done that. But I'm talking about the Son of God that left heaven, preordinate, foreordained counsel, and left heaven and came down and said, I am going to die. I am going to be shamed. I am going to be stripped naked in front of the whole world. I am. And guess what happened? God loved His Son, but His Son loved you more than He did the Father. The Son loved you more than He did heaven. The Son loved you more than He did all of the care that He received while He was in heaven. I'm saying tonight in the foreordinate counsel of God, Jesus said, I'm coming. And I'm going to do it. The fingers of prophecy point to Calvary. This very place called Calvary. The incarnation was preparatory to Calvary. The transfiguration foreshadowed Calvary. And Pentecost was the fruit of this very place called Calvary. At Calvary, all human sorrows hide in His wounds. At Calvary, Satan's armor is removed. At Calvary, the fires of the law are extinguished. At Calvary, the penal claims of God against us are exhausted. At Calvary, every righteous judgment of God is perfectly met. Are you shouting tonight yet? At Calvary, our condemnation is lifted. At Calvary, the death of sin is made certain. At Calvary, our death sentence is revoked. At Calvary, the serpent's head is bruised. At Calvary, the door of heaven is open. At Calvary, the foundation of salvation is unsealed. At Calvary, the world is stripped of all its charms. At Calvary, the bitters of life are sweetened. At Calvary, the shadows of death are dispelled. At Calvary, the darkness of eternity is removed. I'm saying tonight, why are you upset? What are you ticked off about? Oh, tonight we're God's children. We're born again. We're on our way to heaven because of this fair place called Calvary. And I'll wait for you to shout a while. I think you're backslid tonight. I don't think you're right with God tonight. I think if you were right with God tonight, you'll shout at a ball game. I said you'll shout at a ball game. Well, I'm talking about your salvation. I'm talking about Jesus loving you so much, He left His Father. Jesus loving you so much, He left heaven. Jesus loving you so much. Hey, don't gawk about the people shouting. Why don't you try smiling? You got pants on, stand up. We're in church tonight. Shout amen. Wave your Bible. Wave that Bible. Bless God, you ain't going to hell. What's your problem tonight? Somebody help me now. Now sit down, keep it up, you deadheads. This ain't a Methodist church, folks. This is a Baptist church. I'm just saying at Calvary, the shadows of death are dispelled. At Calvary, the darkness of eternity is removed. His cross has become the rendezvous of the universal resort of the chief of sinners. The desire of all nations was never found until Christ was crucified. Christ crucified like a divine lodestone has drawn to Calvary a multitude. Millions and millions of people have come to Calvary, this very place called Calvary. You wouldn't be saved tonight if you hadn't come to Calvary. And by the way, if you came to the baptismal pool, you're going to hell tonight. If you came to church membership to get your sins paid for, you're going to hell tonight. If you quit your smoking and cussing, dipping and chewing to get to heaven, you're going to hell tonight. If you turned over your leaf, new leaf about your life, you're going to hell tonight. But listen to me, if you claim to be a go to heaven because you're a Baptist, you're going to hell tonight. You come to Calvary. It's Calvary. This very place called Calvary. That's the entrance to heaven. That's the entrance to God's family. You can't get there any other way. This very place called Calvary. This very place called Calvary. The multitudes that come that no man can number. Men of guilty hearts. Men of bleeding hearts. Men of broken hearts. The streetwalkers have come. The dope heads have come. The wife beaters have come. The husband beaters have come. A few of those. And the rebels have come. The whores have come. The prostitutes have come. The pimps have come. All kinds of people have come to Calvary. And may I say to you tonight, thank God there's not a one of them that Jesus turned away. I said not a one of them that Jesus turned away. Jesus hadn't turned anybody away. Oh, thank God tonight for this very place called Calvary. The cross, the true center and sanctuary of this fallen and broken world is the only leverage mighty enough to roll off this crushed humanity and the bondage Satan has placed on it. Oh, tonight, I don't care what you've done. A man said to me last week, he said, I killed somebody when I was young. And I'd mentioned to him as I was talking to him how that I didn't know that he'd done that. But I said to him, I said, listen, I said, Moses killed a man. If God forgive Moses, God will forgive anybody. David had a husband killed so he could steal a man's wife. I said, that's wicked. That's horrible. I said, if God can forgive him, God can forgive anybody. I didn't know at the time that he had murdered somebody, had killed somebody. I didn't know that. But I know that that this morning he came to this church this morning. I know he came to church. First time he'd been in church since he was a kid, but he came this morning. He told me yesterday when I called, said, are you coming? He said, I'm coming. I said, well, good, I'm glad. And he said, you said one thing that helped me when you told me about Moses and David, and I figured that God could forgive them, God could forgive me. And I'll pause while you say, I don't care what you've done. It does this very place called Calvary. Boy, you look back at your life and look how you messed your life up, but thank God you come to Calvary. God will put the pieces back together again. This very place called Calvary. Get your pen out. Write this down. Let me give you some things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, please, in verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 says, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, because I promise you, Calvary took care of everything. Calvary took care of everything. Now, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, write this down. Death was defeated at Calvary. Death was defeated at Calvary. Please listen to me. Death was defeated at Calvary. That grave is not going to hold my daddy. That grave is not going to hold your daddy. If your daddy was saved, that grave is not going to hold your mama. That grave is not... Come on, help me now. Death may have taken that loved one away, but when that loved one was taken away, that loved one that saved went right straight to heaven. I mean, stepped out of this world into the next world. How many of you have loved ones in heaven? You have loved ones in heaven. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, death was defeated at Calvary. Oh, thank God, when death came and took that loved one of yours, death could not hold on to your loved one. Death could not condemn your loved one. Death could not take your loved one to hell because they went to Calvary, this very place called Calvary. Oh, somebody help me. Thank God for heaven. I don't know who among us by a year from now will not be here and death will claim, but I promise you, if you're saved tonight, when death comes knocking at your door, don't you worry about it, child. Don't you fret about it, child, because something happened at Calvary. Something happened marvelous at Calvary when Jesus was being crucified and Jesus died. Satan was ready to take his soul. Satan was ready to take him. But guess what happened when Jesus departed out of his body and he went down into hell? He took the keys away from Satan and he said, Satan, you get out of here. I'll take the keys of this place. I'll control hell now. You won't control hell anymore. And he said, not only that, death, you get behind me and you get behind me now, because I've got the keys to death and hell and the grave. Oh, somebody help me.
Somebody help me now. I'm talking tonight about the fact that this very place called Calvary, you tonight don't have to fret about death. All it is stepping from one room to the next room. Somebody help me. Death was defeated at Calvary. Number two, this is very important. The grave was defeated at Calvary. When I go and I look at Katie's grave and I look at our granddaughter's grave, and I go over there quite often, and I stand there and I look at it, boy, my heart is tender. I think about, Miss Gray has a picture in one of her Bibles. I have a picture, and I look at that picture often, and I think about her. She's in heaven. Katie's in heaven. That grave that's out there is nothing but a remembrance of her. She is not in that ground. Now, I don't mind going and visiting there, but I have to remind myself, at Calvary, this was taken care of. I said, at Calvary, this was taken care of. Listen, that grave that your loved one, that body that's there is just a seed. And listen, one of these days when that trumpet sounds and there's a shout, guess what's going to happen? That body's coming up out of that ground, and it's not going to be that old flesh. It'll be a brand new body, a glorified. Why aren't you shouting tonight? A glorified body, a perfect body. Why are we fretting tonight? Why are we worrying tonight? I'm telling you, child, mark it down, at this very place called Calvary, Jesus took a stranglehold on death. And Jesus reached over and took a stranglehold on the grave. Don't you fret, child. You're God's child. This very place called Calvary. Our church is getting older. Some of you members you're looking old now. I look in the mirror. I don't look old. I look the same like I've always looked. But the rest of you looking so old, and I feel so sorry for you. But wait a minute, the older you get, don't you fret. There's something about when you're young, you're immortal. Nobody can touch you. You're going to live forever. But something begins to happen when you get a little bit older, and all of a sudden you realize you're going to die. Especially you start picking up, this is great, picks up the obituary every morning, reads it. If her name not in there, then she goes on about her day. She'll read that in there about people her age or young. Oh, look at here. It says somebody 60 died. Poor thing. And then she'll say, wait a minute, I'm 60. And wait a minute, now all of us are going to face death. But something happened at Calvary. I said something happened at Calvary when Jesus reached down and got a stranglehold on death. And he said, death, I'll decide when they die. Death, I'll decide when they go to heaven. And death, when they die, after they die, you can't have them because they're going to heaven. And then he reached down and took a stranglehold on the grave. Number three, this is important. At Calvary, death was defeated at Calvary. The grave was defeated at Calvary. And hell was defeated at Calvary. I love this. Brother Allen, I love this. Jesus took the very keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan. Satan can't even go home. Did you hear what I said? Satan can't even go home. You go home tonight. You got keys. You can go home. He can't even go home. He's left up here, wandering around up here, trying to deceive everybody. And by the way, he's doing a pretty good job right now. And the public schools may have kicked Jesus out. The public schools may have kicked the Bible out. The public schools may have kicked prayer out. But I got news for you. You let there be a trumpet sound, and you let there be a shout, and the dead in Christ, I'm about to shout now, and the dead in Christ be raised, and that millennial reign starts taking place. I promise you one thing. Everybody in the public school is going to have prayer. Everybody in the public school is going to have the Bible. Everybody in the public school is going to have chapel every day with a hellfire damnation Baptist preacher. I'm preaching to them. I'm telling you tonight. At this very place called Calvary. Listen, child, quit worrying about these things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Thank God you're saved. Thank God you're going to heaven. Thank God you're not going to hell. And thank God for this very place called Calvary, where Jesus reached down and said, death, I've got you. He reached down and said, grave, I've got you. But more important, he reached down and said, give me those keys, Satan. And he took the keys away from the devil. He can't even go home. Can't even go home. But there's going to come a day when he's going to reach down and unlock that place. And he's going to take Satan and he's going to kick him straight into hell. And he's going to take all his little imps and throw them all into hell. And some of his big imps he's going to throw into hell. Oh, thank God for this very place called Calvary. Get back up here, you little imps. You just tickled because they didn't throw you into hell, aren't you? I'm just saying tonight, this very place called Calvary. You're getting older, and I know you are, and some of you got cancer, and some of you are worried about it. Don't worry about it. They're called this very place called Calvary. If you lose a loved one this year that's saved, don't you worry about it, because this very place called Calvary. If your mama dies, there's my mama's 93. I can't wait to see her. I'm going to see her in a few days, and I can't wait to see her. I want to see her. But I know she's got a few days left on earth. I may die before she does, but the truth is, I want to see her. But if death were to come and death were to take my 93-year-old mama and take her to heaven, I promise you that because of this very place called Calvary, I promise you, Jesus is in control of death now. Satan is not in control of death because of Calvary, this very place called Calvary. And because of this very place called Calvary, the grave has been defeated. Because of this very place called Calvary, hell has been defeated. May I say quickly, number four, because of this very place called hell, Satan has been defeated. You're on the winning side. I love that song Brother Hudson sing, "We're on the winning side." I love that. That's true. You're on the winning side. You're on the winning side. Oh, tonight, look, these little pitting things that you're worried about. This way, worried about my job tomorrow. Worried about the boss tomorrow. What are you worried about? Because of this very place called Calvary, you are the winner. Why don't you go to the last book in the Bible and find out who wins? Hot dog with chili and hot sauce on it. We win. We're the winners. We win. I never have liked losing. I don't like losing at nothing. In fact, I have to move the goalposts. I'm going to win. I don't like losing. But I promise you this, I promise you, we are the winners. How many of you are saved on your way to heaven? Wave it at me. You what? Brother Connor used to preach a sermon. The scores, are the game's already settled. We're just running the score up now. I like that. We're just running the score up now. Don't you understand? I guess three of us are happy about that. This very place called Calvary, death. Jesus took death and said, "I got you, death." Look, when you die, it's not going to be Satan getting his hands on you. It's going to be God moving you to a better place. When you die, it's not going to be Satan coming along and snatching your soul. It's going to be Jesus ushering you into the glory land, and where he has a mansion for you. Don't you understand that? No more shacks to live in, boys and girls. No more shacks. No more worried about the clothes and the food. I promise you, everything's going to be done. No more worried about sickness or death. Sit up, young lady. Sit up. Sit up. No more worried about sickness or death. Not at all. I'm just saying that you and I need to understand, because of this very place called Calvary. And I'm telling you, tomorrow you remember it. And Tuesday you remember this. And Wednesday you remember this. And Thursday you remember this. And Friday you remember this. And put a smile on your face. I don't care what comes your way, because of this very place called Calvary. Death has been conquered. The grave has been conquered. Hell has been conquered. Satan has been conquered. And may I say, number five, sin has been conquered. You, through the Holy Ghost of God, because of Calvary, because you now have the very presence of the Holy Ghost of God in you, can live over sin. You can get the victory. You can. At any given moment, you can. You may not choose to, but you can. Why? Because this very place called Calvary. Oh, one of these days. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is hard to believe. But a place where there is no sin, no heartache, no death, no cancer, no hospitals, no surgery, no doctors. All doctors will be in hell. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding now. It's the lawyers that are going to hell. But I'm just saying to you, where sin has been conquered. All tonight, because of this place called Calvary, you're going to heaven tonight. Because this place called Calvary, death has been conquered and defeated tonight. Because this very place called Calvary, the grave has been conquered tonight. Because this very place called Calvary, hell has been... Boy, you're too worldly minded. You're so worldly minded, you ain't even joined. I tell you, you better get out of that. Son, when they bury you, they ain't taking that Mustang with you. When they bury you, and they're not taking that GTO with you. When they bury you, there ain't going to be no U-Haul following you to the graveside. I'm just saying, thank God, at this very place called Calvary, death was defeated, the grave was defeated, hell was defeated, Satan was defeated, sin was defeated. And then number six, I'm going to close this thing out. The sting of death was taken. I love it. The sting of death was taken. It's what it said in 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is taken. Do you know that when people that die that are not saved, that there is a horrible death? There's a sting, according to the Bible? Do you know if you die tonight without Christ, not only will you die a horrible death, but you'll find yourself with your eyes open burning in hell forever? Please listen to me tonight. I'm talking to church members tonight that are lost as a goose in a hailstorm. I'm talking to young people playing the game, and you know you're playing the game. You couldn't live right 2 days in a row if somebody put a pistol to your head. What's the difference? The place called Calvary. The place called Calvary. The sting of death. I'm just saying to you that there's a horrible, horrible death. I preached these funerals. These other men have preached these funerals. I've seen them fall out. I've seen them lay on the casket. You couldn't get them off the casket. I've seen them just wail and carry on like you ain't never seen in your life. But let me tell you something right now. A lost person, that's the way a lost person reacts. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't weep at a funeral. You should weep, and your heart ought to be broken. Especially when I die, you better wail. But the truth of the matter is, there's a comfort in the fact that knowing that because of this place called Calvary, you and I are going to heaven when we die. Because this place called Calvary, our loved ones are going to heaven when they die. Look, folks, you ought to thank God you're a Christian. Thank God you're saved. When you Christian, Joe, stand up, just walk through that door. This is death to the Christian. All it is leaving this world and going to the next world. He's absent here and present there. I'll pause while you say amen. Now, come on back, Joe, get resurrected. But that's all that death is. Death is just leaving one place. I get on an airplane. I won't this week because of the team convention, but I usually get on a plane, fly somewhere, and I'll get on that plane, and then I'll get off, and then somebody will meet me when I get off the plane, and they'll say, welcome to Columbus, or welcome, I think I'm going to New Jersey, Dirty Jordan, George Street. In 2 weeks, and I get off the plane in New Jersey, and somebody will meet me, and maybe they'll say, would you, let me look at this site over here as we go to the hotel, or look at this over here. I believe that when I die, when you die that are saved, I believe we're going to get off of a plane. I believe we're going to be transported, and we're going to get off and step off, and I believe that our guardian angel with a broken wing, that guardian angel is going to, I believe that Jesus will meet us, and I believe he'll take us on a little tour. Come on, help me now. And I believe he'll take us on a little tour as he takes us to our mansion. And I believe that. Listen, tonight, if you're God's child, you better thank God for Calvary. You better thank God. Oh, you've not thought much about it since you got saved at age 8 or 9 or 10. You haven't thought much about it, but you better think about it tonight. Thank God for this very place that's called Calvary. Because of that, death has been conquered. Because of that, you and I have found victory in this place called Calvary. How many of you are saved on your way to heaven? Well, then shout. I said shout. This place called Calvary. You know, I guess your problems don't really mean that much, do they? What are you worried about? What in the world? Thank you, ma'am. I'm doing the best. I'm a reverend. Did y'all hear that? What are you worried about? I thank God that age 11 that a pastor named Marvin Owen came to my house and cared about my soul and sat down and I just wished he'd have drawn the net at the time, but he sat down and showed concern for my soul. The following Sunday night, I walked down an aisle, got on my knees. Nobody dealt with me. Nobody talked to me. Nobody prayed with me. I went home, said to my mama, Mama, I'm going to hell. And Mama said, you get in that room over there, son, and you get on your knees and you ask Jesus to save you. And I got in my bedroom. God, I'm shouting now, hallelujah, and got on my knees. And I invited Christ into my heart, and I'm going to heaven when I die. And all these things I've mentioned to you tonight have all been conquered, and all have been defeated because of what happened at Calvary. Don't you take lightly that time of your decision. Don't you take lightly that time you got born again, and thank God for it every day that you live. It's the very place called Calvary. When your mother-in-law starts giving you a tough time, you think about Calvary. And think about where she's going. You got that, Brother Bowen? You just with your mother-in-law, aren't you? God bless her. She's fine, Miss Bowen. Everything's fine. But I'm just saying, somewhere in here, you need to understand, each of us need to understand, put everything in its context. Put life in its context. It is not... Well, help me, men. I got one lady out shouting, all you males here tonight. Mrs. McKinney's still alive and kicking, isn't she? Oh, wait a minute now. Put life in its context. Are you saved? Put life in its context. You're going to have problems tomorrow you got to face? Put life in its context. You're married to a woman? Commit suicide. I don't know. But put life in its context. I'm just kidding. Cut that out of the tape, boy. I'm just saying, somewhere in here, you're far too much wrapped up in this, the troubles you've got. You're too wrapped up in the trials. You're too wrapped up in it. If I were you, I'd just go around like this tomorrow and say, glory to God, I ain't going to hell, I'll tell you that. Glory to God, I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to cheer you up tonight. Glory to God, I ain't going to hell. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it ain't written down in pencil, and everything's okay, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to make it through this, and I'm going straight to heaven. I'm going to pass the whole stinking mess up, and even if death itself gets me, it doesn't matter, because at Calvary, Jesus already got a stranglehold on death, got a stranglehold on the grave, got a stranglehold on the devil, got a stranglehold on hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell, so why am I so upset? Some of you folks come into office in here and you're like this, and boy, you just uptight like this, and this better be straightened out or I'm out of here. Man, I feel so sorry for you. That's not the big issue. The issue is there's people going to hell. That's the issue out here. Come on, help me now. Tonight, there's a place called Calvary. And because of that very place called Calvary, you and I need to put life in its right context. Because if we don't do that, girls, listen to me. Hey, girls, listen to me now. If we don't do that, that's why you girls, why you got 15-foot long dangling earrings. Whose attention are you trying to get, girl? Got a 14-foot eyelashes. Why? And you got the tightest skirts ever. What are you trying to do? Why don't you obey the Bible? Why don't you quit being worldly? You come here for soul on Thursday night, get in your car, and then go home. What about Calvary? What about Calvary? What about Calvary? I want to represent my Savior, right? I want to represent my Savior like He ought to be represented. What about Calvary? What about Calvary? What about Calvary? What about Calvary? Across the street, we lived up north, Mrs. Gray, remember? We had neighbors. The mother screamed all the time at her son. All the time. Never had everything. She just screamed at him all the time. Little things. She screamed about little things. Well, it was big things. He got used to it. And one day, he went out of the house and tried to cross the street to go play with Bobby. And a truck hit him and killed him. Mother was screaming while he was going, but didn't pay any attention to her. He just walked out in the street and he was killed. You have never seen such wailing in your life. You have never, unless you have been in a situation like this where somebody's lost a son, somebody's lost a daughter, in a tragic, tragic accident, you just don't know the heartache and the heartbreak. You don't know the heartache and the heartbreak. Oh, tonight, think about that God lived with that heartache for so long. And then when Jesus came to earth, He lived with that heartache, knowing it was going to happen. He didn't deserve it. You listen to me? He did not deserve it. You did. I did. He didn't. But He willingly died so that you'd go to heaven. Quit worrying. Put everything in its right context. And quit reflecting this world. And start reflecting next world. Start reflecting. You be a good testimony for Jesus Christ because of this place, this very place called Calvary. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Everyone standing.